needs. And they felt that all of our institutions were out of balance. And I would look at, yes, all of our institutions are out of balance. If you want to say what was the theme of the Ruffles work, it was balance, or rhythmic balance, interchange. And if you look at that concept, say take economics as an institution, I would say it's in, out of balance. It's based on the word debt, which has the same root as the word death. It's really based on taking and trying to get all you can get and to get everybody you can in debt to you. And it's institutionalized in the Federal Reserve banking system and our whole economy. And we need to see that this concept balance, you could look at it like two people on a seesaw. And if two people are on a seesaw and they want to play the game of seesaw, they both give to each other and re-give to each other, so they go up and down and the game goes on. If one of those people would say, hey, I want all of the extension of the lever, and they got it, the game ends. And if you have an economic system that's based on trying to get everybody in debt so that they have nothing and you have everything, the game ends. And that's what's happening in a sense with our whole world economy now, as the rich get rich and the poor get poor, because we do not see this simple principle of balance. And I would say an application of that would be like to the question of tariffs. Should we have them? Should we not have them? I would say we should have them if there is imbalance in trade. For instance, the Japanese right now should be saying to us, not just us, put tariffs on us because we don't want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. We want to balance our trade so that the game can go on. And if every transaction in nature, if ever every transaction in society, if every transaction each of us had with each other, if both sides were completely satisfied, completely happy, if it was absolutely balanced, as close as you could get it, there was no residue of imbalance in the transaction, there would be no wars anywhere. We would not have the crime that we have. And to change that, we all need to see, we need to understand, and almost get it in our guts, in our feelings, that we start living that way, and that we act this way, and then we can change our institutions.
We're going to go to a little break. We'll be right back with Dr. Tim Byers. The pencil's ready.
Okay.
Yeah, wait a second.
Okay.
Yeah, this element ran out.
That end of it at the commercial there, it ran out, and we were a little hesitant to put it back in. We forgot, but this is where it starts off. So.
Okay.
One second.
Yeah. The program tomorrow is where?
Yeah, we're going to be getting it over our radio, right? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be recording it tomorrow, but he's going to be based out of Oregon.
Do you happen to know the call letters?
He'll say it at the end. The call letters of the station that it's on now.
No, that it's on tomorrow.
It's the same.
Okay.
For us, it's
And he's going to have binder on again.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
It is. There it is, right there. All right, here we go.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay.
Not much
more than this.
Okay.
We're trying to get the truth out. Dr. Tim Byers represents the University of Science and Philosophy in Waynesboro, Virginia, and they plagiarized, and this is the gospel according to Bull right here. I think what happened is they plagiarized Sister Cedra's works. They plagiarized the Russell works so that it would gain everybody's attention. Hey, here are marvelous revelations, because people maybe didn't know what
Sister
Cedra or the Russells had said. And then they just put out their own line, and of course if you had already swallowed the other under the signatureship of Apton, whatever, then you would swallow that too. And in this case, I think we really ought to salute Dr. Tim Byers, because it is not easy to take these people on. It takes a lot of money. The court process is drug on now a couple of years because they keep getting extensions. That is, the Eckers keep extending. It was supposed to be in January. They've extended it again now to March. Dr. Byers hopes it'll be finished. But Tim Byers represents this tremendous volume put out by Walter Russell and his bride. It is truly revolutionary, and Tim, the very same workbook that Ecker got to plagiarize, other people can have access to. You've got a number where people can get information, a catalog, so maybe they can get involved in the true programs of the University of Science and Philosophy. You want to give that out for us?
Yes, it's 1-800-882-LOVE. So that's 1-800-882-882-882. 382-LOVE. And I'd also like to mention very quickly in the last few seconds we got here that I'm also a physician in the natural healing arts, a graduate of the National College of Naturopathic Medicine, Western States Chiropractic College, North American College of Acupuncture. And we have many seminars that we teach here on the Russell philosophy and seminars on health and healing and like a science seminar. And I would invite people to call us, get our catalog, our books, list of books in our seminars that we're doing this next year, and come out and see for yourself what we're like. Come out and see if we're really working with, as they would put it, the dark evil forces or not. Come out and meet me, meet my staff, look at the Russell work, and you be the judge.
And the good news, the really good news, is that Dr. Tim Binder's agreed to be on with us tomorrow. Several of you have already called in. We just asked you to hold your calls because I knew the message was going to take most of the hour. But tomorrow we'll be in Portland, Oregon, transmitting, because there's where we have our spike. If you're interested in it, it's 1-800-476-0685. But tomorrow you can call in. We'll bring Dr. Tim Binder on. We'll talk more about this wonderful work that Walter Russell has done. And allow you then to call in and talk to Dr. Binder yourself. Call up Dora Becker. Have her call in. All we're interested in here is the truth. And as long as we're willing to present the truth in a civilized way, then I've had this valuable resources. I don't respect them at all, but I respect them.
Are you there?
Yeah. I was just trying to queue up here.
Okay.
It is Tanya Purdy. That's about all that you can hear or see. And as we speak, the judge named Patrick Gilroy is
a little louder.
Two Tanya Harding's lawyers argue that the judge should stop the Olympic Committee from having a hearing at the Winter Olympics, where people are headed very shortly on February the 15th. Of course, the one thing that they haven't addressed at the hearing, and this is the thing, of course, that should have come up first, and it seems like judges, not only Judge Patrick Gilroy, but at all levels, and that is the jurisdiction. Does the court even have jurisdiction in this case where you have a United States Olympic Committee with powers to rule upon participants in Olympic events? But at any rate, Don Marmaduke, who is Harding's lawyer, is still mouthing away at the judge, trying to get him to say yes, so there can be no hearing. And we haven't heard from the Olympic side yet. Now, today, we're going to talk to Dr. Tim Binder again, and we invite your calls. We're going to have him on right after the 20-minute break. The number here is 1-800-950-TALK, and I'd invite you to direct your questions, if you will, toward the University of Science and Philosophy. Also, toward anything that Dr. Tim Binder may have said. We were talking about Catan yesterday. Today, let me get in what I think are some important points. There is a man by the name of Charles Coxwell, C-O-X-W-E-L-L. He goes on trial this coming Monday, February the 14th, for cleaning out a drainage ditch to control mosquitoes. Now, just like we went in the defense of Rhett Beckman, as there were people who filled the courtrooms every day in the trial of Randall Weaver, here's another citizen who is in trouble. It seems that the government has fined Charles Coxwell $25,000, and he goes on trial in the Shalimar, S-H-A-L-I-M-A-R, Shalimar Courthouse, which is at Fort Walton Beach, Florida, Monday, February the 14th at 8:30 a.m. in the morning on criminal charges. And he's requested that those of you who hear this program in the Florida and in the Louisiana area, if you can, or wherever you are, if you're going to be in that area, kindly show him some support, the same love and respect that we've given for other brothers and sisters, that he might have a fair hearing. In just a mouthful, here is what happened. Charles, trouble began a couple of years ago. He requested a permit. I guess this was the wrong thing to do, was to request a permit to build a small pond on his property. Now, what happened was about a year ago, the Department of Transportation came along and widened the road in front of his house, and this caused a major draining problem. The neighbor down the street filled in his lot and made the level higher than Charles Cockwell's lot. And as the water then was channeled by a pipe back toward Charles' lot. And normally you think, well, this is a dispute between Charles and the neighbor. Well, because Charles didn't complain about the neighbor, it's the government complaining about him. But it would rain, the ditches out in front of the road and around Charles' house would become full. And water would flow across his lot. Now, the water stood in these ditches and it bred mosquitoes. So Charles dutifully went to the Mosquito Control Organization, which in Florida is an important part of their governmental services, and asked them to do something. They told him that about the only thing that would help was for him to clean out the leaves and the debris in the drainage ditch alongside of his property. So he decided, well, while he was doing this, he'd go ahead and try to dig this little pond he wants. And immediately, the government came out and charged him with, quote, destroying wetlands. Now, you see, it was wetlands only because of the water coming off of the highway at his neighbor's lot. Before it was wetlands, it was dry land. I mean, my gosh, so $25,000 a fine? And now he's facing criminal charges for destroying wetlands, his own front yard? Anyway, his name is Charles Cockswell, C-O-X-W-E-L-L. He goes on trial Monday morning at 8:30 in the morning. That's Florida time, 0830. And it's at Fort Walton Beach. It's at the Shalimar, S-H-A-L-I-M-A-R, courthouse. Show him some respect. Show him some love. Be there if at all possible. Wanted to read you something directly out of a church bulletin. This is not just a news bulletin. This is a bulletin from the authorities of the church to lower authorities who administer church discipline. Now, I've mentioned to you before that there are churches in America today who will not baptize you if you do not fill out a 1040 form or have an IRS action against you. There are churches who want your children to be registered for the draft. There are many, many requirements. It seems that the IRS has wedged itself in somehow into the equation of salvation. And I've often wondered what part they play. But let me give you this specifically. And
as he speaks here, it goes on into some of my speaking, so don't confuse the two. But he's going to talk here about the 12. Well, listen very carefully, but it sounds to me that this Mormon, Mr. Wright, is referring here to the Mormon Church. Could I be right?
Yes.
Okay. Don't you find that interesting? Go on. Does anybody have access, or would you get a copy of my writing and Dorma's writing, Doris's letter? Hers would not have yet been published in the paper, but
I think I've got a copy.
I want to read it myself onto this tape, because if it's too much for the language of a Bogrites, I don't think it's too much for God.
Was it
Rambo?
Yeah.
Rambo, yes. Well, go ahead with this, and then we'll put it in the appropriate place. I don't want ones, you know, out there not knowing.
This horrible language.
Quoting right off of a church order, and it says, quote, instructions for distribution. Each one of the following items has been approved by the Council of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 and should be carefully reviewed and implemented. Quote, and there are several things, but here's the one I wanted to read to you. Income taxes. Church members in any nation are obligated by the 12th article of faith to obey the tax laws of that nation. If a person disapproves of tax laws, he may attempt to have them changed by legislation or constitutional amendment. Or, if he has a well-founded legal objection, he may challenge them in the court. A member who refuses to file a tax return to pay required income taxes, he is in direct conflict with the law and the teachings of the church. A member who is convicted or willfully violating tax laws should be subject to church discipline. Now, I hope that the people who receive this, because this is sent to all levels of church authorities from the very top to the very bottom, but I hope the church authorities who receive this will make themselves, their minds at least, open to the legal, lawful determinations of the court. Because as you'll recall, if we had given you the 10 points of law of Larry Beecraft, who won the case on October 15th of 1993 of the U.S. versus Lloyd R. Long. Lloyd R. Long specifically would not file a tax return. This is what the church authorities are talking about. And he was found innocent because, one, he was not a corporation. Secondly, he was not involved in alcohol or tobacco. Thirdly, he wasn't in one of these, quote, privileged occupations. And so, because the income tax is an excise tax, and the Supreme Court has ruled that you cannot attach to an individual an excise tax unless you are a corporation or involved in alcohol and tobacco. And remember, in our 10 points of law, Laurel Beecraft pointed out that nowhere in the IRS's code is anyone required to pay income tax except those that are involved as corporations, privileged jobs, and the business of alcohol or tobacco. And so before the churches start excommunicating members, because the members are trying to follow the law of the land, and not just the will of the IRS, I hope those authorities would please. And I invite the members who would maybe be faint-hearted at this point, rather than losing membership in the church, examine carefully. Who's running the church? Is it God or is it government? Where does the IRS fit into the equation of salvation? I think these are kind of some important things. Now, we've got John on the line. I'd like for John to give me just a couple of minutes. I want to read some things from God. Now, this may not be your God. You see, there may be many gods out there. And we were talking about Hatan yesterday, who claims to be a 9.5-foot emissary of God, and Dharma, or Dora Pecker, is the secretary or the mouthpiece. But this is an order. This is, well, it's a thing. It's a paper that's written. I get it 1 through page 12. It comes as coming from God, and so I thought I would read it to you directly. We're going to have Tim Binder on the line, so take John's call here in just a second. Yeah. But let me run through this. God is now...
Now he's going to use a little mishmash of my material. Did anybody hear him once utter the name of that church?
No.
And it's going to look like, my friends, that I am the one who is running that church just because of the way he's done this. Go on.
Saying this, if it sounds like God to you, it doesn't sound like the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Then comes in this morning with great concern.
And I want to tell you, that man has just said it all. He does go with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I don't think, you know, I think very much of it.
Well, it seems the last one those in that location want is actual participation by anyone here, and especially by anyone connected with God's host. I understand that Colonel Grice's security fighters and excursion decoys are the ones sought after. Well, go for it, Rambo, and you will finally reveal yourself. Well, I didn't expose myself illegally when we were up there at Billings with Brett Beckman, and I thought we did a pretty good job. Brett got 22 days to respond to the judge. There was no violence. The SWAT team didn't come in. The sheriff seems to be amenable, and the judge has even acquiesced to possible hearing by grand jury. Quote, it seems that Bo presents Hatan as a reptilian lizard and other reptile descriptions. How would he know so much? Well, we'll answer that when we talk, because I do know a few things about Hatan. and we'll answer those things when we get into conversation with Dr. Tim Binder. He is in connection, talking about me, with Green, Anderson, and the Elite Controller. They're doing nothing more than setting up the lies, which can be the excuse for making a raid by the ATF and Fed on the house in which the Eckers live. So it's nice that Josh is concerned about us trying to bring the ATF on Eckers. I swear to you, and may God strike me dead at this moment, because see, my God knows all these things. And if the Hassan God can be so wrong about so many things, makes me think that maybe Hassan is not God. That we are not planning or in any way trying to encourage the ATF to come against any citizen or any part of government. Colonel Wright knows every nook and cranny of business laundering of both drugs and money through Panama. Well, you see, if Hassan is God and speaking as God, then he would know the truth. And if you'll remember, I'm the one that revealed government involvement in illegal drug trafficking in Panama. It says, and now we talk about Tim Binder's university.
Says undoubtedly your ones are going to come back to me and say, should we just send these out? And in case you decide to do that, I'm going to insert something here. Now, he has ridiculed, he has made fun. This is a man who sets himself up as one capable of running the United States of America. He's going to take a medallion, put it up there, and say, that takes care of the debt. America's free and clear. Sounds good. Constitutionally, it's right. This is the same man who had to have known about the massive drug trade before he went into Southeast Asia. He did not bring out a whole hell of a lot of POWs, did he? But somehow, this one man, after whom the Rambo character, after those raids, was built. The advertisement for his campaign was the most decorated man from the Vietnam era, Green Beret. Special Forces, Dorman knows very well, Mark Gilboen, who trained the man in hypnosis, stood by his bed while they together mentally dissolved a stone that allowed passage so that this man could make his journey. He had to go all on his various and sundry trips. I'm not going to break it down because the next thing will come. That was out of sequence, and if you are God, you know. I don't have to be God to know. For crying out loud, it's documented. Stop this. Hats on, act on, God, Jesus. Stop laying your ignorance or refusal or your false testimony and your lies upon such a flimsy foundation. If you cannot stand with your God in front of a 62-year-old woman, Colonel Greitz, without ridiculing, you are no man at all. And if you read your history books, Colonel Greitz, you would understand the label. At this point, I claim to be nothing relative to Commander Greitz, and I do not believe he's going to enjoy that very long. However, that is beside the point. I cannot thank him enough for helping me during this period of time when I needed critical example. If you don't get right with God, my friends, it doesn't matter what you call him. And any man claiming to be the most decorated, and then they will go on and they will say in the encounters, 375 Asians killed by this one man. And many of you will remember Gright sitting to my left saying, "But sir, what about the past?" And I said, "The training gets you to today. God does not care what you were. He cares what you are." And Hathon here is not here to judge. But I hear Colonel Grice judging himself. I hear him judging himself and finding himself so insecure and so unworthy as to have to take on such a vicious criminal opponent as a 60-year-old woman. I find it amusing. I hope that you do. But what I want to investigate here is how is it that this Rambo can travel in and out of the United States on these missions and just happen to have entree to Kunsa, the drug lord of the Golden Triangle? And how is it that he just happened to know all the ones involved in that drug trade right up through Bush? How is it that he goes back and he finds a superhighway right up to the door of Kunsa? I'm plagiarizing his work. Do you in this room think that any less unusual in the possibility of some contact somewhere in a little town in California where you basically only try to mind your own business? There's no dues to be paid here. The only dues that there might be paid are simply your heart with God. And some loyalty, perhaps, to your brother. Why is Colonel Grice so ill thought of by his brotherhood of special forces? Anybody ever think about that? Immediately came back from once here. I don't like a man. Right over here, one now who works with him. Remember Quaid? Mm-hmm. He wanted nothing to do with this group because he could not stomach the fact that we were working with Bo Grice. I'm sure it's a little different now that we've got all this massive survival program going. Because you see, it no longer has anything to do with integrity. It's a business. And it's all right for them to teach survival against 300-mile-an-hour wind, but to us it's ridicule. In the same capacity, but not on as successful a scale, thank him, because a cult of one cannot compete with a Mormon cult or the Catholic cult. Cult means group, following a follower, a leader.
Leader or principal?
A principal. That's a better word. Who does the Mormon church follow? As a prior Mormon, who do they follow? And how did this one get his information? I think somebody named Moroni bonked him on the head or something. And he went into a trance in the middle of the field. And he had revelations ever after that. Mainly Masonic revelations on how to operate the church. And killing was all right for them, too. Remember, when killing is all right, you better watch out, because you might get killed. Killing is not all right, thou shalt not kill. Oh, but we can defend ourselves. Not when you go out and massacre, my friends. 375 is unacceptable. Does that mean that some of these other special forces are more acceptable? Not for their activities. God sees what you are and utilize the training from that which you were. And it's up to you what you want to do to clean up your act. But I'm going to ask you again, is it any less acceptable in the ridicule category for a Beau Brights to come back and write two books, A Nation Betrayed and Called to Serve, tell all this? Is that truly any more ridiculous than to suggest that somehow there is some intent to pull down two people, when you have proof from law, from documents, from eyewitness, that it is not like it's being presented from his mouth, who quotes the Bible and believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but will lie in the face of Jesus Christ? I need no other but Jesus Christ, he says, and the blood of the sacrifice that saved me. B.S., Mr. Brights. Jesus Christ did not come to die for your sins. He doesn't have enough lives to die for your sins. He came to tell you and show you and prove to you that there is no death if you live in Christ. And if you think you can buy a ticket aboard Jesus' wings, you better think again. He tried to tell you again, these things that I do, you can do, and more. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, I will return. And always on the return of God. And now ones are trying to say he isn't God. He wasn't. Any more than this woman sitting in this chair claims to be anything except Doris Ecker. Would God not send you the way? Would God not remind you of those wondrous gifts sent to you through people like Walter Russell and destroyed by those who came afterwards into a humanistic philosophy called, I'm sorry, name it what you will, anytime you center it in a palace, it is a religion. How are you going to get the information when you lock yourself into a humanistic environment? And how can God get that information to you that is buried? Somebody has to have guts enough to stand up against the Rambo Brightses of the world. And if it takes a 62-year-old grandmother hiding behind my skirts, it's just fine with me. And they won't let me anywhere near the stand when Doris Ecker